You're listening to Run, R-U-N, Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. As pastor of the Smithton Outpouring and the Kansas City Revival, Steve is a leading voice of revival worldwide. Steve shares his life-changing encounters with God, along with biblical teaching that equips you to experience and lead lasting revival. Come, run with Steve and expect God to revive us now.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome again to a Revive Us Now podcast. I am your host, Steve Gray. We're going to talk about revival and kind of describe what really takes place in revival, what some of the purpose of revival. I've been in hundreds of churches around the country world where they said they had revival. Some were pretty hilarious. I think some of them got the idea. Some churches got the idea that revival is just a louder, longer service. Some of them made it almost into a party. I've been to some churches where they, no kidding now, they turned it into a beach ball party. They brought beach balls in and they'd sing and laugh and bounce the balls through. And they were trying to describe that something had happened to them that made them feel more free, you know, and that's good. I understand it because they did feel freer. Something had happened that had kind of freed up the church. And it was a God thing in that respect because that's good. They'd had, you know, people have chains, spiritual chains around them and fears and a lot of religious ways locking them up. You know, one of the things that Paul said about himself is he had to forget his past, and his past was his religious past. He was just locked up with religion. And he had to have the freedom to serve Jesus and to be free of all that. And so they got free of it. I'd been in two churches where they did beach balls and kind of had that party and went to a church where they were said they were having this revival, and they just got giddy, you know. And one lady picked up an electric extension cord, you know, big old extension cord, orange cord. And she walked around the church and plugged people in. She'd touch them with the end of that cord, and they just giggle and laugh and fall down and like that. So what is a revival when you really know that God's there? And so you understand it, you know, people get a sense of freedom and they want to express it. And sometimes that gives a true revival a bad name when people do that, because you're going to have to go deeper than beach balls and giggles, right, eventually. And so my experience when I got into this, I was in desperate shape. I needed something more than some giggles. And so when I first saw revival happening, before it happened to me, I was going places and looking. And one of the first altar calls, I'll call it that, it wasn't traditional altar call because people were just coming from everywhere just to be prayed for. It wasn't the just as I am, the people orderly coming down with, and you know, down to the thing, you know, or altar or whatever. It wasn't like that at all. It was just crowds of people coming down wanting to be prayed, and some just hit the floor and some stood up and, you know, prayed, and worship music was still going. And I've told this story a few times. It changed my life. There was a man, a very well-dressed man, tall man, and I think he had a brown suit or whatever, and everybody else was going to the center of the altar where the action was, where the people were getting prayed for and the music was going. And I was torn up inside. That was my first time, I think, when I was really starting to seek God. And I was in the ministry and everything, but I was torn up on the inside seeking God. I need more, you know. And I was hurting. And I saw this man come down the stairs from the balcony and walk there, you know. He just walked and away kind of from everybody else. And he just, there were some steps there, and he just fell on those steps, just fell on the floor. And I heard this wailing, crying out to God noise coming out of him. And I thought to myself, man, what has happened to him? What is, you know, I thought, did he commit some terrible sin? Did his wife lead him? Did he rob a bank? You know, boy, I mean, this guy is making sounds that are desperate for something more. And when I heard that, and I saw other things too, and I heard that, and I thought, you know, that's what I need. I need some of that. I've got to get to the point where I am that desperate for something fresh and something new. And I believe then I can be revived. I can come back to life again. And I began to search, and God, and so the story goes on that it's been documented in a documentary and everything like that. to where I began to go back to the hotel room, and I go to church at night at these churches, not our church, another church, and go to church at night and just cry out to God like I'd seen the best I could during the day, and just cry out and read my Bible and pray all day long and go to church at night. And I did get the breakthrough, and out of it came the Smithton outpouring, or the revival that you may have read about or should read about anyway. So I realized then that this is serious business and there's people in serious trouble. And a true move of God then becomes something more than a beach ball party. It's more serious than that. And people might laugh. They might feel joyous. They might feel that great release of God. And that's great. But it's got to go somewhere else if you're going to continue to follow this pattern of walking and being in the presence of God. And so I was looking at this and figuring out what actually in those days of revival, what was actually taking place. And we've had, I could probably say thousands of people in the ministry, pastors, leaders, worship leaders, youth leaders, whatever it is, thousands, that heard about it. They read about it in the newspaper, magazines, about this move of God. And so they would come. They decided to come, and they'd come, never been there before, you know, never been in what they had ever been termed a revival or an outpouring of God's Spirit before, and they didn't know what to expect. And it was so intense with the presence of God that even people in the ministry, pastors, worship leaders, just almost, it was like reading about the Israelites coming into the presence of God, and it was wonderful and terrifying all at the same time. And so many of them were almost terrified of what the presence was so strong. And yet they came for prayer. And they were nervous, but they came for prayer. They wanted it, but they weren't sure what it was. And what we found out was happening is what I read here in Hebrews, what I want to read to you. Therefore, from chapter 12, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. And it's got to eventually, any great move of God has to go there eventually. A lot of them, like I said, they enjoyed themselves, they laughed, they enjoyed, and they jumped and longer services, and it was all good. But eventually it has to move into reverence and awe. And the next line says, for our God is a consuming fire. And that's what happened to me. I think that's what happened to that man. And that's what was happening to those worship leaders and pastors that came by the hundreds. They met the consuming fire of God, and a lot of people weren't ready for it, didn't even know it existed, heard the term revival, renewal, outpouring, those terms we even say today, we need revival, I hear people say. And they don't know what they're asking for, because eventually we must get to the consuming fire of God. And sometimes we hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. And people try to describe the fire as a judgment fire, or and putting fire in your bones, and the fire of God, and all those great terms that go along with that. But he's a consuming fire, not just a fire, but a consuming fire. And so that's what we got to be ready for, and that's what catches people off guard. They're not sure when they get around a consuming fire. In other words, God just wants to consume all that you are, just eats up everything you are. He wants all of you. Consuming all of you. And we got a problem with that in our day, because I mean, people go to church and they want to love God, and they want to love Jesus, and they'll go along with the programs, and they'll sing the songs, and maybe they'll give something in the offering. But we got to really ask ourselves the question, with all that's going on in the world today, are we going to be able to escape the evil that's coming into the world today without being consumed by God? Can we go a quarter of a way? Can we go a third of the way? Can we go halfway with God and be filled with enough power and presence to come against evil people that are consumed with evil? You'll notice evil people get consumed with evil. They get consumed with money. They get consumed with addictions. They get consumed with pornography. They get consumed with bad habits. Evil just gets people, and they get consumed by it. Well, and then Christians come along and we go halfway, right, with God, and just kind of want to go into this. Most people did not come with the intention of being consumed by the fire of God. A lot of people only came into this, right? They just came into this because they didn't want to be consumed by the fire of hell. They didn't want to go to hell. They got talked into and said, well, you want to go to heaven when you die, don't you? And you go, well, yeah, I do. Well, just say this prayer with me. It was about that deep. Just say this prayer with me, and then you'll get to go to heaven, and you won't have to go to hell when the end of the time comes. And, well, okay, that'd be a smart move. And that's all they did. And so then somebody comes along like you or me, us, and we want a move of God. We want the fire of God. We want the presence of God. We want revival. We want renewal. We want the consuming fire of God to break out of heaven and come down and consume us. And they're looking at us like, well, I didn't get in this to be consumed. I got in this so I wasn't going to be consumed by fire. I didn't want to go to hell. I didn't get in this to be consumed by the fire of God. I just stepped into it so I could go to heaven after I die, not get something while I'm alive. And so they look at us like, that's not why I come to church. And we're going like, come on, don't you want to have a move of God? And they really say, not really. That's not why I got into this. So we've got to get them hungry for it, but we've got to get you hungry for it. We've got to get the people who understand it to be consumed by the fire so people can see it and feel it and know it and desire it then and say, I want to be consumed like I saw that man. And I said, I need what he's got. And that's what I went after till finally the revival of power, presence, and glory consuming. I was consumed by the fire of God. And out of that sprung an outpouring and revivals, and people were touched all over the world. And that's why I want to bring that to you. As you pray for revival, know what you're praying for and know what you need to have. You need to have the all-consuming fire, because he is a consuming fire. And that's where we need to go if we're going to touch our cities and change the world. We need to have a revival because our God is a consuming fire. All right? Till next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Revive Us Now podcast with Steve Gray. Push the subscribe button so you don't miss an episode, and spread the word on social media. For more episodes and resources, go to reviveusnowpodcast.com. Until next time, keep on running for revival.